Hello, and welcome to show number 2604 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
From a patron perspective, I'm thankful, and it really enhances my day.
And the service we'll be talking about today has been enhancing my day for many, many years.
The National Library Service offers many ways to enjoy audio and Braille content through their BARD system. We'll talk with Don Olson about the various platforms available, including BARD Express and mobile apps. We'll learn about eligibility for these free government services and how technology is modernizing digital reading. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Don Olson.
When a person contacts your librarian, whether you are an existing patron or looking to sign up for services, have a good conversation with that person and let them know what you, number one, the kinds of materials you like, meaning what genres and so on and so forth. But it goes much deeper than that, and much actually more important than that, in the sense that let them know you're a Braille reader. So you might and would want Braille as opposed to, let's say, audio access. If you want audio access, well, how do you like to consume your, well, audio? Is it through an app on your mobile device? Is it perhaps on or with a desktop player? That would be, to me, a very important thing to get out there and to communicate with your librarian.
So have the conversation and understand the various options that are open to you.
That's correct. There are many ways you can go. And luckily, we have 9 or 10 different, quote unquote, faces of BARD that we can choose from.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Don.
Greetings. This is Don Olson with the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. It's good to be here today. My position at the library is to serve a number of different hats. The primary hat is to supervise the NLS download service, which is most commonly known as BARD support. Those are the folks that you speak with when you communicate with NLS download at loc.gov. In addition to those duties, I do a lot of the testing on all of the different platforms, from the BARD website to the mobile apps and on down the line.
And what does NLS stand for, as well as BARD?
NLS is the National Library Service. Okay. BARD stands for Braille and Audio Reading Download.
How long have you been with the National Library Service?
I lose track, to be honest with you. I think I'm going on my either 17th or 18th year. So it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm really pleased and honored, to be honest with you, to be with the National Library Service.
So most of your clients and most of our listeners have some sort of reading impairment, whether it's a visual impairment or not. Do you?
I do. I am blind and have been since age 4. And so I am a patron, as so many of your listeners are. So I feel the pain when something goes wrong with the system. I truly understand how important it is to those of us who enjoy the service.
Well, Don, it is a tremendous service that you offer. And as a blind person myself, I've been using your service for many, many years, and it's gone through many changes and modifications over the years. I remember first listening to some of your audiobooks on 8 1/3 RPM records. And I guess today we can talk about some of the changes you've gone through and some of the many ways that people can access your material. Maybe we can list some of those ways and then speak more specifically about some of the methods.
Sure. So first of all, pretty much piggybacking on the point that you bring up, it's been very interesting over time to view all of the different changes that have taken place. Like you, or similar to you, you know, I started in the record and cassette days. And so it's been very interesting from a patron perspective to see those changes. And then finally, as someone who is employed by the National Library Service, to see what has gone into the various decisions that are made to be able to expand the I'll call them platforms. And so that helps me to move into that conversation, and that is that we often refer to something called Many Faces of Bard, which happens to be the name of one of our events that we offer every month. It's every second Thursday of the month, actually. And the reason we say Many Faces of Bard is because there really are quite a number of different faces, if you will, or platforms that a person can consume, if you will, Bard. So the reason that is important, meaning we have, is it nine? I lose track of that number too. It's either 9 or 10 now, different ways to consume Bard. You know, we all learn differently, right? Some of us are auditory learners and some are tactile or whatever you might want to, let's call it first person learners. So we, of course, Bard, I should say, we, when I say we, in this case, for our conversation here, we're talking about the Bard website. That started in roughly, I think it was 2006. And since then, there have been a number of, again, I'll use the term faces or platforms that have been added to the service. So again, we started with the website, which was the core at that time and actually still is the core. In time, I think it was 2013, was the first Bard mobile app. And since then, two other flavors, if you will, of Bard mobile have joined that triad. So first it was iOS, then Android, and now we've branched over into the Fire OS.
I think you can even read Bard books on Alexa devices these days, right?
That's correct. So I, for one, absolutely enjoy it because I can just walk into my bedroom or living room or office or whatever and pick up with the same book that I was reading in the other room.
So you talked about several of your platforms on smart devices. And what I think is neat about your services is not only are there many ways of accessing the information, but not only do people want to access them in different ways, but there are different people that are technically savvy to different levels. So you offer devices that people can use that are very simple and easy to use if people aren't so savvy with smart devices.
Absolutely. And that was really, I would say, the number one reason why a couple of these different platforms were developed. The first one in that realm, if you will, was Bard Express. As you say, not everybody is comfortable with certain technologies. And in this case, I'm talking about web technology or surfing technology. One could definitely argue to say that there are a lot of commands and a lot of different techniques involved with web surfing. And that's why we came up with Bard Express, which is a Windows-based piece of software that can be installed, downloaded from Bard, and a person doesn't have to deal with, quote-unquote, deal with a lot of those different techniques. The most recent one that would also fall in this conversation would be the DA2 player, okay? So the DA2 player, which is our second-generation desktop player, as I say, of course, sits on your desk, but in this case, most importantly, it connects to Bard via Wi-Fi, and you can download your books directly to your player, as opposed to having to go through a number of different procedures, if you will, to order your books and then finally receive them from your library through the mail.
But for people who are uncomfortable even downloading things over Wi-Fi, I think you still send out cartridges to people that they can just plug into their desktop device and listen to audiobooks, correct?
No question about it. And that is actually the most popular delivery mechanism, as if you will, a way that people can consume books from the National Library Service. So, for example, we are in the hundreds of thousands of patrons, but only, let's say, maybe 25%, believe it or not, of that patron base are actually on BARD itself for various reasons, whether it be technology, meaning technology sitting on your desk or in your hand, or, for that matter, cellular service. Maybe you don't have internet or cellular service where you live, and that's why cartridges are and continue to be a very important way to get the NLS books into the hands of patrons.
And we should point out that all of this happens using Free Matter for the Blind via postal mail. So there's no cost.
That's correct. No question, that is an important thing for everybody to realize and understand, that none of our services will cost you whatsoever. This is a fully government-funded program.
And we should also mention that in addition to all of this audio material, you also offer Braille material that you'll either mail back and forth, again, Free Matter for the Blind to individuals, or you also offer free Braille, refreshable Braille devices that people can use in their homes.
Yes, and this is a really interesting one. This is a perfect example of how and why technology can be a huge benefit to people. And what I'm getting at is, okay, so you brought up the point that hard copy Braille can be sent out to patrons, again, via Free Matter for the Blind. But an example I'm going to use as far as that technology, or technology in general, benefiting a person has to do with our overseas patrons. Think back, Peter, 40 years ago, how long, let's say, your library books took from, let's say, ordering and then having the library send you something, how long did that take? So multiply that exponentially if you are living in a country outside of the U.S. So now comes today's technology. Many of our overseas patrons take advantage of that technology and are able to download their books directly from BARD, thus negating the necessity of having to rely on the mail service.
Well, you know, there are other benefits as well. As Pete mentioned, I'm sighted, so I'm not personally a user of the NLS services, but I pack our luggage whenever we take a trip. And 40 years ago, when Pete was getting his material via post office in the mail, and it was those big, chunky, green plastic cases with a bunch of tape cassettes in them, when we would pack for a trip, we'd have to bring an extra book just in case one was broken. These days, he brings his telephone and nothing breaks. And if he finishes a book, he just downloads another book. It's so much easier.
And it takes up a lot less space in the suitcase.
Absolutely. Let's equate this to the Braille world, if you will. So you mentioned how much space Braille books, hard copy books, can take.
Let me tell you, we never took a Braille book on a trip.
For good reason.
But we had stacks of them, literally stacks.
Yes, absolutely. But now Pete can. because if he wants to read Braille, he can do that with an e-reader. Okay, just take that e-reader with you and as many books that you wish.
We talked about Braille, and another way of accessing Braille material is via some of the e-readers that the NLS service offers free to their patrons if they'd like a portable e-reading Braille device. I understand that right now some libraries only offer one of the available devices, and soon they will be offering a choice of either the ZoomX or the HumanWare device, right?
That's correct. And actually, right now, there's only four libraries around the country that have the ability to offer both e-reader types or manufactured, but you know, different by the two manufacturers. But starting in February, libraries will be able to offer the HumanWare e-reader as well, those that already offer the ZoomX e-reader.
Got it. And what are the major differences between the two?
They both offer the same functionality, which of course the main functionality is you know, to download and read your books, right? The only real difference between the two is the feel of them or the aesthetics.
So we talked a lot about the various ways that people can access the material depending on their comfort level and their preferences. And I thought maybe we could talk about, I know you've recently updated the Bard site and made some modifications there. You want to tell us a little bit about what's new on the Bard site itself?
Certainly. If you recall, in the beginning of this conversation, I mentioned that the Bard website is the core, and it continues to be today. So first of all, it was long overdue where the Bard website needed to be updated. Okay, in 2006, we used 2006 technology. And so 19 years later, as it is today, that technology really needed to be updated, okay? So that is exactly what we have with the new Bard website, which everybody now has access to. The features that we build into the Bard website are then or will become accessible, if you will, to all other players that connect to Bard because they use the same API. So whether you are using one of the platforms that we offer or a commercial device, the manufacturers of those devices can take advantage of all of these quote-unquote endpoints that are now built into Bard and will continue to be built into Bard as our development moves on throughout the next weeks, months, and even years. Bard is never finished. So what we have today is not what we'll have in a year or 2 years or 5 years. There will be more. There will be different features and different ways that we can consume our library books.
Well, hopefully we can have you back on the show to describe those as the situation evolves.
Makes it very easy to search for what you're looking for.
So you brought up one instance where when the functionality is built, that app will be able to take advantage of the same functionality. And that is one thing nearer the top of a backlog for the website is going to be the ability to subscribe to your favorite authors. So just like you can right now subscribe to your book series, as I do, and it sounds like you do as well, when that becomes available on the website, the app developers will then be able to take advantage of the same kind of technology, or in this case, the same functionality.
So we talked a lot about audio material and Braille material, but I also wanted to point out that you also can subscribe to periodicals of various sorts through Bard. And there's also a number of music materials that are offered through Bard. Can you talk a little bit about those and highlight the features?
Well, let's start with the audio side of things. And in this case, magazines specifically. So just like a book series, You can also subscribe to a series of a magazine. So when I say a series, in this case, it's a particular issue. Okay. So let's say maybe it's AARP. Okay. Or for that matter, the tens of other magazines that are up there, you can subscribe to those as well. So when that new edition of that magazine comes out, let's say next month, it will be automatically added to your wish list. Music is a slightly different animal, so to speak, where yes, you can search for a lot of different materials on Bard, and you can download a lot of different music materials on Bard as well. But if you're looking for hard copy Braille, it makes sense that you're not going to be able to download that from Bard. You're actually going to want and need to contact the music side of our library, or in other words, our music staff. They will, of course, get that hard copy out to you.
Great. We talked a lot about the various services you offer, and I thought we should talk about who is eligible and how they can sign up for these services.
Well, okay. So people who are blind and visually impaired, people with physical disabilities, also people with reading disabilities. Because once again, they don't have access to print. In, for example, if a person with a physical disability might be someone who does not have the dexterity to turn the pages, do not have the strength to hold a book, things like that. So there are many different areas where a person could be and are eligible for a service. How can you sign up? Well, we have a page to list the different contacts for the different libraries around the country and in a few other territories as well, the Virgin Islands, Guam, Puerto Rico. They're out there as well. And the easiest way to get this information is to go to a website, which is www.loc.gov/NLS. Okay, that is the NLS homepage. But once you're on that page, click on a link that says Find Your Library. Once that page opens, you can scroll down the page and find the library that's in your state. I would contact the people at that library, and they will be happy to help you out.
And you do need to be certified print disabled.
That's correct. Whether it be a doctor, a medical person in your life, it could even be a librarian for that matter. If you are able to walk into a library and, you know, for a lot of disabilities, such as a physical disability or for that matter, a visual disability, it's obvious, you know, people can see that you have that disability. Not quite so easily done in the reading disability side, but that would be have to be where your medical physician comes into play.
And we did talk about sending material overseas. And since this podcast is aired around the world, I just wanted to make it clear that this service is only available to U.S. citizens and residents.
Well, let's break it down a little bit. Number one, U.S. residents. Number two, U.S. citizens who have moved overseas or outside of the country, but also people who live in other countries who are not citizens, however, reside in the United States. So let's say a person on foreign exchange coming over from a country and they now live in the U.S. going to, in this example, X college or X university. Those people are eligible for the service as well.
So is there anything we missed on?
A person does have the ability to request books to be added to the National Library Service collection. So on the Bard website, there's a link in the footer that you can click on in order to request books.
Well, you know, this service is so impressive. There are so many situations where people with visual impairments have less accessibility to whatever. But when I compare Pete's access to reading material through Bard to my access to reading material, his is actually better. And I think that's remarkable.
In some ways, that may be true. From a patron perspective, I'm thankful and it really enhances my day.
Through the course of this discussion, you've mentioned a couple of times the main website for the National Library Service. Can you repeat that and highlight some of the specific sub-websites that people can go to for various things?
Let's talk specifically about the main website. And that URL or address is www.loc.gov/NLS. And all of the services and various pieces of equipment and so on can be found and discussed there on the website itself.
And I guess from that website, people can find their regional library and either call them or email them to get signed up and connected.
Right. From that same library, you click on the link that says Find Your Library. And what I would suggest is having a conversation with the person you speak with there at the library, because as I've mentioned a number of times throughout this conversation, there are many different quote-unquote faces or platforms of BARD. So which one is going to be most advantageous to you? Do you like to surf the web? Do you like to download your books onto a mobile device? Are you a Braille reader? Maybe you want to listen to your books on a smart speaker. Have those conversations, and the librarian you speak with is going to be able to best advise you which way to go.
Do you have a social media presence?
Sure, we are on Facebook.
Do you have a mechanism where people can request modifications to the service?
I probably ask people most often to contact the BARD support team, and they will forward it on to the appropriate parties. And the BARD support team is the folks I mentioned early on at nlsdownload@loc.gov.
And remember, you can look in the show notes for each episode to find all of the contact information and resources that we talked about in the show. And this is episode number 2604, if you're looking for the show notes. Also, as a special note, we are now starting to add a text transcript to each episode in case you miss it in the audio. And those links will be available on our website. And it's also available if you subscribe to our weekly announcements list, which you can do by sending an email to Eyes on Success, followed by the plus sign, followed by the word subscribe, and then at googlegroups.com. So Eyes on Success plus subscribe at googlegroups.com. And you'll receive an announcement for each show along with links to the audio, show notes, and transcripts each week.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about gaining skills and confidence at summer camp. Summer camps can be more than just fun for children who are blind. We'll talk with Gwen Botting, Executive Director of Opportunities Unlimited for the Blind, about the summer camp she runs for visually impaired youth. Besides being fun, the camp teaches cooking, gardening, independence, and employment readiness skills.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, available wherever you get your podcasts.
For show notes, resources, and more information, visit our website at eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, I'm Peter Torpy.
And I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy. Thank you for listening.